So, like, a lot of churches, like St. Mark's, in fact, the first parish that I was a part of had a ministry to a handful of local care institutions, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, a Eucharist there for folks once a month. They were all lovely places with lovely people. But there was this one nursing home and rehabilitation center that was just down the street from the church that we hadn't managed to visit in years. It had fallen on hard times. The staff there did their best, but it was poorly funded. There was a high rate of turnover, and the services there were really difficult to coordinate because of that. And many of their permanent residents were older folks with dementia, young folks with brain damage, folks suffering from the irreversible effects of alcoholism, drug abuse, poverty. They were not there by choice. They were there because they had no family to advocate for them or painstakingly research the best place to be. They had no financial means to move elsewhere. This was the local place that Medicare and Medicaid would cover. And that year I asked my rector to do a Eucharist service there on Easter Sunday. And I knew this would be a big ask, because you think Easter weekend, he's already doing four big Eucharistic services. I'm asking him to do one more. But he said yes. And that morning, actually, as we were packing up to go down, walk down the street, he pulled me over his computer, and he showed me a local news article that had come out just the day before, and was about this local nursing center. See, they had failed their state inspection for lax security, poor sanitation, and just the buildings being in disrepair. And I remember my heart just sank, because I thought, well, there goes the end of that. I mean, we can't ask parishioners to go in and do service there. But then I saw the look on my rector's face, and his eyes were shining with excitement. And he said, this is why we do what we do. Because that article was proof that our little team of parishioners were going to be exactly where they meant to be. They were going to proclaim the resurrection in a place of death to the people who needed the good news the most. So we did what we do. We placed Easter lilies in the room where my colleague had human excrement thrown at her. We placed them beside beds of the people who had no one to visit them on Easter Sunday. We sang Amazing Grace over blaring TVs, and we knelt beside wheelchairs to share Christ's peace. We pulled up chairs for the harried and overworked staff, gave them a moment's rest. We broke the bread and shared the grape juice, and God was there. God was already there. God was already there. In our story at this point in Jacob's story from Genesis, he's fleeing from his home, his family. His twin brother is very reasonably, totally incensed at him for stealing his birthright. And he's on his way to his mother's people, and he has to sleep in this random, strange place, out in the open with just a stone pillow. And he dreams of angels. And God has a message for Jacob. And he wakes up completely beside himself and says, God was here. This is none other than the house of God. And he marks it by anointing his stone pillow. And he is so riled up by this experience of God in this very special place that he almost misses the point of God's message, which is God isn't just here. God is with Jacob wherever he goes. God will be in every place Jacob is. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. I will not leave you. This question, whether God is with us when we are far from home, it echoes throughout all of the Hebrew Bible. Abraham wonders whether his God will accompany him to a strange land. Hagar is surprised to find God in the wilderness when she's banished there. When the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed and God's people are in exile in Babylon, they wonder if God could really be there with them in this foreign city. And this question of God's presence also lies at the heart of Psalm 139. Could God really be here too? Where can I go then from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climbed up to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand hold me fast. Even there. I often get asked by curious children, where is God? Is God really everywhere? And my simple answer is, yes. And my longer, more complicated answer is that there are times and places where it is easier and harder to feel and experience God's presence. I suppose I'm Episcopalian in part because the symbols and rituals of this tradition bring God's presence to my awareness most intensely, most acutely. Christ's presence is most real to me in the bread and in the wine. And yet, that's not always true for me. And it might not always be true for you either. Sometimes the bread seems just to be bread. And it's those maple scones in the hospital lobby after a long night on call when you can actually taste the presence of Christ. Sometimes sitting in a crowded church feels empty, but standing alone on a cold winter morning in a pine forest feels full to the brim. Sometimes God feels far in the places you need God's presence the most, and very near in the moments you least expect. When has it been most difficult for you to believe God was with you? We in the Episcopal Church owe much of our Eucharistic traditions to a mid to late 19th century Anglican religious movement called the Oxford Movement. The leaders of the Oxford Movement they did elevate the sacraments to a degree that kind of offended the sensibilities of the mainstream Anglican church at the time, but their priests were the real deal. They set out to prove what Psalm 139 proclaims, that no place is God forsaken. The Oxford Movement clergy brought their candles and incense and embroidered vestments and stained glass right into the overcrowded, filthy industrial slums of London. In the midst of the ugliest underside of societal neglect and aching poverty of their time, the priests offered beauty, the most beautiful thing they knew, Christ's presence in the Eucharist. I wonder where it is most difficult to believe God is present in our communities today. And how can we make it known that God is there, even there, in new and familiar ways? The truth is that you can find people who feel abandoned by God just about anywhere. But the pain of that, I think, is most acute where folks are also being abandoned by their community and their society. My rector and I, we got our answer to that question in my previous parish from that news article. We got our answer. It was right there down the street. And I wonder what our answer would be here at St. Mark's. Where are people isolated and neglected here in Greater Springfield? When we started our ministry at that rehab center, we tried out a bunch of different simple songs that we did at other nursing facilities, children's songs and spirituals, ones that we could pull off a cappella. But at this place, we soon learned just to sing Amazing Grace every time, sometimes three times a service. See, many of the residents there that were wheeled into our worship had no real response to much of the worship that we did. These were people who were unable to hold a conversation. They couldn't tell you their name. A few kind of only stared into space. But we discovered that when we sang Amazing Grace, even those first few off-key notes, those same folks would lift their heads. We'd see a shadow of a smile. They would sing and hum and sway. And I can't tell you what the experience these residents were having in that moment, whether they felt God's presence or not, but I can tell you that was that moment for me. The moment when I believed what God told Jacob, "Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." What the psalmist knew, "Even there your hand will lead me and your right hand hold me fast." No place is God forsaken. No person is beyond God's love. That's why we do what we do. Amen.